Let's go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All hail the new king in town.
Live from the Super Bowl experience in downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Let's spend a little time on Jalen Hurts. Let's be fair and balanced.
Let's do it, man. I like this kid.
I shouldn't like him, and I do.
And his story is so amazing that it needs to just be repeated.
Earlier on the show, 49ers quarterback Trey Lance. Still to come. Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Montana. Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. WWE Superstar Seth Rollins. Pro Football Hall of Famer Charles Woodson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, also free on the Roku app. It's also free on Amazon Fire TV and the RokuChannel.com. We say hello from the Super Bowl state of Arizona to those listening on this terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us, thanks to our partnership with Westwood One. Cumulus Podcast Network is what puts out the 3 hours of this podcast every single day. You can follow us there. We say hello to everybody listening on Sirius Channel 218, XM Channel 202, 992 on the app. We say hello to everybody listening on the Odyssey stream as well. We're here again in the downtown Phoenix Convention Center inside the Super Bowl experience, getting set for Super Bowl 57. My colleague Kurt Warner is going to be stopping by in about 20 minutes' time. He's calling the Super Bowl on Westwood One and also hanging with me for an absurd amount of time on NFL Network on Sunday for our pregame show leading up to kickoff between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Charles Woodson stopping by in hour number three. WWE superstar Seth Rollins is stopping by in hour number three. But to kick off hour number two is football royalty to my left, courtesy of Advance Auto Parts, four-time Super Bowl champ, Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Montana. Good to see you, Joe.
Great seeing you.
You are the man. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I do a lot of cool things professionally, but to be sitting here on this set at the Super Bowl looking at you with the Vince Lombardi trophy in between us, this is pretty much up there, man.
Yeah, it's pretty fun being here. Thanks for having us.
Of course.
As usual, always good to see you.
Appreciate it. Right back at you as well. When you look at this trophy, what do you think of, Joe?
That's pretty neat. I got a few of those.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you just think back about the games. And the games just was so much fun to be a part of, and you know, you just wish everyone who played could have a chance to be in it. Mm-hmm. And experience it. But there's nothing more fun than, you know, reaching that pinnacle at the end of the year.
And then we got a photograph of you right here. That looks like the Detroit Silverdome to me. Is that where you?
I think so. Yeah.
How were you able to be cool under the pressure of the Super Bowl as much as you were, Joe?
I think a lot of it just came from, you know, what Bill taught me from early days was preparation. You know, I always explain it to, like, younger kids and people that don't understand. It's like, you remember when you would go in to take a test in school that you hadn't really studied for? You remember how nervous you were?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so do you remember when you actually did some work and you went in to take that another test?
Yes.
How comfortable you were. And it's the same type of thing. It's being prepared from every day at practice. He demanded perfection from the quarterback. He demanded from everybody, but especially the quarterback position. I think he lived through the quarterback position for a lot of it. And you know, so when you get to the game, you've seen almost everything. And, you know, we spent a lot of time studying. Not only our plays were ridiculous.
What do you mean by that?
We had so many plays with so many formations, and you had to study. And back then, you didn't have the ear thing, so we got signaled the play, not the formation.
Right.
So if it had three formations, you had to know which formation Bill wanted. And we would start, our final total would be 120-some pass plays and another 30-some runs. And it was so funny because Theismann was, we lost to Washington in the championship game, so Bill was coaching the Pro Bowl that year.
Uh-huh.
So we get there, and day one installation, Bill puts in 35 pass plays. And Theismann turns to me and goes, "Wow, that's awesome, man. He put in all the pass plays in one day." I go, "You're crazy. He's going to install till Saturday."
For the Pro Bowl?
Yeah. He goes, "No way." I go, "I'm telling you." I go, "I'm not even studying this. This is too easy." So, and sure enough, he installed all in Saturday. And but he just, you know, it was overbearing. But he you learned to be prepared and how to study it and what to know. And You know, when you went to the game, it was just second nature.
So let me drill down even more. Who was at that Pro Bowl? Who was at your first Pro Bowl in Hawaii?
Oh, my gosh.
Joe Montana. Give me that one. Because now we're all talking about, you know, flag football.
I can't remember,
now,
but I remember the one Pro Bowl where I had Mike Quick and Chris Carter as wide receivers.
Yeah.
Insane. And both of them said the same thing to me.
Which is what?
Hey. You get in trouble, just throw it my way. I go, I only have one ball, guys, so who should I throw it to?
Well, I mean, but you had Jerry Rice. You must have been used to somebody saying, throw me the football.
Well, yeah, but no, you know what? Jerry never said, you know, Jerry's personality now is a lot different than when he was playing.
What do you mean?
He's just a lot more outgoing now. He's gotten more comfortable with everything.
And
all that's over with. But you get in the game, and Jerry, you open.
Yeah.
Jerry, another play. Jerry, were you open? Yeah. You look at the film, there's three guys on him. Yeah, okay, Jerry, you thought you said you were open. But, you know, he rarely said a word.
When did you know he was extra special, Joe Montana?
Well, in the beginning, he was, you know, the first couple of days of practice, he was just getting beat up. Balls were hitting him in the face, everything he could do. And he'll even admit it. But then all of a sudden, one day he catches a pass and turns and runs like 60 yards to the end zone. And we're like, you know, your wide receiver is supposed to catch a ball and turn around, run 10, 15 yards and come back. He scored a touchdown every time. And we're like, no matter how far it was, and we're going, God, come on, you're the first pick, you're a rookie, you don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. But that was his nature. And then, I always, when I talk about motivational people, that's how he practiced every day.
Yes.
So is it a coincidence that he's the NFL's all-time touchdown reception leader by a big number? No, because that's what he did every day. He scored touchdowns. And he just had a crazy knack. Wasn't the fastest guy, but he knew you're not going to catch him. And he'll to get behind people. He ran, I don't know how many posts he ran. Like I said, if I'm playing Jerry Rice and I'm on the other side and I'm the defensive coordinator or head coach, my free safety, if Jerry Rice gets behind you as you're chasing him, just keep running. Go right in the door, go change your clothes and go home.
Right.
I said, don't let him behind you. But he had a knack for getting behind people. And, you know, then it's easy.
Of course. Joe Montana here on the Rich Eisen Show. And before we move on to the here and now, can you tell me the story, the famous story of you noticing John Candy in the crowd before that 2-minute drill the Bengals and your second Super Bowl win over against them?
It was kind of funny because, as you know, TV timeouts are forever in the Super Bowl.
Tell me about it.
So I had been to the sideline once, maybe even twice, and we were just standing out there waiting for the signal to start to play. I think we had the ball in the 8, and Harris Barton was a people person, so we were free for dinner during the week, but, you know, practice and meetings, and then come back after dinner and more meetings. So when he would come back from dinner, he was like a little kid. He could not wait to tell you about all the celebrities he saw while he was at dinner. And so we were just standing there, and between the tight end and his shoulder was framed John Candy.
And in the crowd?
He was on the sideline.
Oh, he's on the sideline.
And so I sat there and I looked and I go, dang, I don't remember Harris saying he saw John Candy.
This is what you're thinking in the Super Bowl with minutes to go, needing to drive down the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so I walked over and said, hey, man, there's John Candy. And Harris stood like this for 8 minutes, perfectly still. He was a little bit anal that way. He would not move. He was like little. I didn't do it to unwind him. I just thought he would appreciate seeing John Candy. But he started mumbling some things. Super Bowl, you're Candy. What do you know? It's going through. I don't know what he said completely. Uh-huh. I understood a few words, but now he appreciates it now more than he did back then,
right,
before we started the drive.
Did you ever meet Candy, or that was the only time?
Yeah, no, I had met John a few years before that. My contract was up.
Okay.
And he was, you know, one of the owners of the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
He was trying to get me to go to Canada.
Come on!
They just didn't have enough money.
But if the price was right, I might have been
wearing an Argonaut uniform.
Yeah, you'd have a 55-yard line. You'd be like, I'll do that. So he legitimately said, you know, hey, you know.
Yeah, we had a couple meetings about. Yeah,
you did. So this is real. Like, it wasn't oh, by the way.
No.
Wow. I love that. So what do you think of Mahomes and Hurts, seeing these two guys play the way they play in a Super Bowl, Joe Montana?
You know, both a little bit different, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, what can you say about Mahomes? Tolu. He can do anything you want, however you want, when he's healthy. I hope he's healthy for Sunday. So, we see a good game from that side of it. And Jalen's just having a tremendous year. I mean, both throwing the ball, running the ball. Man, I just realized how big he is. That's a big fellow.
He is. What advice would you give him for his first Super Bowl, Joe?
You know, what I always looked for in the game, no matter the Super Bowl or not, I wanted to get hit first. I wanted to get hit sometime early. Please hit me early.
Why?
It just kind of gives you a different feel about the game. You're not looking for that hit. Well, it's a little bit different now because for him, it's probably a little bit better. They don't hit you as much. But
right.
I looked for the first one just to kind of get your mind right and get past that first.
Was there one particular first hit that leaps out at any of them? Or?
No, not really. But
okay.
It was just, you know, always got to guys just have to do what they do. And once it's this week that bugs you the most, right? As you get, we had more fights during this week in practice.
Really?
And even we never wore pads. So just because you're ready to play a game in 7 days, typically, right? And you get in that feel, and now you got 14 days.
Yeah.
Your body's ready, your mind's ready, and plus it's the Super Bowl on top of it. You want to get going. There's nothing better than once the whistle blows and the ball's kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
And then things change. And you don't hear the crowd as much. My concentration went more to the things that I was had seen, you know, on film.
Yes.
What the plays we were talking about, looking at. I still laugh when the guys are looking at
their tablets.
The tablets. When I think about the New Orleans when we first used to go there,
mm-hmm.
they had a string or a wire from the way up top where they'd take photos and they'd put them on those metal clips and they'd slide them down down to there. And so you're looking at these little black and white.
That came off of a string from the top of the Superdome?
Yeah, a little tiny cable. They'd drop them down and they'd come down to you down on the field. It's a little different now.
Yeah, I would say.
But you're constantly looking at things and going over what happened in the last series. Once the ball goes, he'll be ready to play.
The most valuable play promotion for Super Bowl 57, courtesy of Advance Auto Parts.
It's kind of a fun thing because you look at some of the numbers, right? So in the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
if either quarterback throws a touchdown pass over 25 yards,
yes.
Well, doesn't have to be a quarterback because we know some of those other guys throw passes too.
Yeah,
but
Hines Ward would raise his hand and tell you.
Yeah, yeah. The first touchdown pass over 25 yards,
mm-hmm.
if you're registered on advanceautoparts.com
yep.
for the promotion, you have a chance to be one of the 25 people who are picked to receive free gas for a year at the Shell stations around the country. And on top of that, you get a $500 shopping spree at Advanced Auto Parts. So, fun thing out there. You look at, you think it's a little bit easy thing, but so far in the playoffs, there hasn't been one.
Well, you threw four touchdown passes of at least 25 yards in the Super Bowls you won. That's why they, I guess, imagined they plucked 25 out of not just thin air, but from that statistic. AdvanceAutoParts.com to register on all of that. So before I let you go, I know. You've chimed in on this subject matter, and I hope you don't mind me asking again. The next quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, you would think, to best move this team back to the Super Bowl is who, Joe?
I know they said he'll never play there, but, you know, I'll preface it with the guy that just got hurt, if he was healthy, yeah, he'd probably be the guy.
Purdy.
But he has an injury to his throwing elbow and ligament. You know, medical world has advanced a lot.
Yes.
Rehab's done a lot different, gotten better. How soon he'll be back is unclear. Who's won the most games for you? And he said he'll never play there. I don't know how you get rid of Jimmy. He fits that system a little bit better right now than Trey, I think. Trey runs a little bit different offensive style than Jimmy does, as used to. Jimmy's a pocket guy. Trey, he can play in the pocket, but he's more of a, you know, that run-pass option kind of a player.
Right.
I mean, you had a Super Bowl team. How do you get rid of a quarterback that got you to the Super Bowl once already until you know whether the other kid's ready?
Right. So you would keep Jimmy see if Lance can get up to speed and compete? Would you throw it out as a competition?
I would say it is a competition, but if it's even close to being even, I would start with Jimmy, so there's not as much pressure on Trey. Because whoever starts that season next year, this is going to be a lot of pressure if it's not Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
He's expected to be the starter, but I just look at, and I'll be the first one to say, when Jimmy first got there, I wasn't a big proponent of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he fits, and mainly you can't keep him healthy long enough. You know, he hasn't been healthy yet, but he wins games. He's been winning games for him, and I mean, that team's loaded.
No, I know Jimmy said, you know, that he's out, and that they also said that Kyle said there's no, he doesn't envision any scenario in which Jimmy stays, but we've heard that song before, haven't we?
Never say never, right? Right? It's an old saying.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I just think it's hard to turn it over to, you know, Purdy got the job because everybody was hurt.
Yes.
And I don't think that was expected of him, but I think they realized that he can play, he knows that system, he understands it, he understands he's got playmakers, he doesn't have to try to make a play, he doesn't have to try to make a play with his feet unless he's flushed out of the pocket, and he can make plays if he has to, but that's, you know, I mean, look at the weapons he's got on offense. It's crazy.
It is.
So I'm just not. Trey may be closer to being ready, but he's lost a lot of time because he's been hurt, right? On top of that, the little time that he's played. Jimmy's been hurt too, but he's come back and played well when he's come back. So I don't think you can get rid of him. That's just my thought. I don't go around, just so you know, I don't hang out down there. I don't talk to those guys.
Sure.
But all I know is that's kind of the way I would look at it.
Well, I asked. And thanks for coming, Joe Montana. You're the
man. My pleasure. Thank you for having us. Always great to see you.
Always great to see you. That is Joe Montana, Pro Football Hall of Famer, four-time Super Bowl champion. Again, go to advancedautoparts.com, register. Anybody throws a touchdown pass over 25 yards in the Super Bowl, you got a shot to score free gas at Shell stations nationwide and a $500 shopping spree at Advance Auto Parts. You the man. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you, man.
That's Joe Montana, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Another Hall of Famer is chilling out in our Roku Channel Purple Room, as we're calling it here, in the Convention Center. Kurt Warner when we come back.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like, the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
And we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Joining us here, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has just stopped by is my colleague and my friend, longtime at the NFL Network, NFL Media Group, and of course a Super Bowl champion and a Hall of Famer, Kurt Warner. Good to see you again, sir. Good to have you here. You are still the last guy to win the MVP of a playing season and then the MVP of the Super Bowl.
That is hard to believe. Do you have any stats on how many have been there? Because I feel like there's been a lot of MVPs that have, you know, won the MVP in the regular season and then gone to the Super Bowl.
Yes. I was told there'd be no stats. I have
sorry.
No idea. Guys,
sorry. Can okay. you, I don't know the
Brockman,
answer to that.
Brockman, are you looking that up?
But I feel like there's been a number of them, so I'm kind of surprised that it has been that long since one of those guys has found a way to break through and win a Super Bowl. But I think what I know as well as anybody is you get there and it's 60 minutes. And you got to put together your best 60 minutes as a team to win a Super Bowl. Nothing has to do with how well you played during the regular season. But it is definitely a surprising stat to me. And I think it's going to be a challenge because, I think Patrick's going to win the MVP, as most people do. But I think it's going to be a challenge for them to change that again.
Nine, Rich. The answer is nine.
Nine since 99 that have been in it? Yeah.
Yep.
Nine who have won the MVP and then made the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But did not win the Super Bowl.
And I think I was probably the first one on that list, aren't I? So I did it last, but then I did it in 2001 and lost, so I probably started that streak
of nine. So you're on the streak as well?
Yes, I'm part of the streak.
Brady's the one who created that streak then, is what you're saying.
Because
you were the MVP of that season.
Go figure that Brady created that streak, right? Exactly. Some kind of Super Bowl streak.
Another streak that he created.
Yes.
So what, this Lombardi trophy that's in between us sitting here on our set here at the Super Bowl, when you look at this beautiful piece of Tiffany hardware, what do you think of Kurt Warner?
You think of hoisting it, right? Like from the time that you're 7 or 8 years old and you play the Super Bowl in your front yard every year, it's all based off of watching whoever's hoisting that trophy and standing up there on the podium and holding it in that one hand and celebrating. And so that's what I think about it. It automatically takes me back to the 99 season and the season that we won it, and being able to get up there and kind of embrace it. I mean, you know how tough it is. You got to wear gloves or whatever to even touch it now. So to have the moment where you can touch it and hold it up and it doesn't matter what fingerprints get on it, or you can kiss it if you want, whatever you want to do, that's the first thing that comes back. And
by
just,
the way, if you look over your shoulder, I believe you're hoisting it for the first time in your life right there,
that's
Kurt.
That's the moment. And, the other thing is you want every player to be able to experience that, right? Is it's a dream of all of ours, and there's been so many great players that haven't had that moment. But that's what I think about when we get to this point and this, every year, and you have it here on your set, is I think – man, I want somebody who hasn't had the opportunity to hoist that thing to get to hoist it. I want to see that moment because it is such a unique and special moment that we all dream of.
Did you get to take it anywhere? Did you take it somewhere?
No, I didn't get to drink milk out of it or anything like they do with the Stanley Cup. But
no, I think didn't Kelsey the last time he win this like shoot beers off? Like he had beers right down there? Or was that a Patriot who did that? I don't know, Brockman.
We didn't take it and throw it around on boats or anything like that either. We didn't do any of that
from
stuff.
Boat to boat.
No. So the actual one, I just got to kind of hold it that night. Mm. But they do give us a replica.
Oh, they do?
They gave us all replicas of it. So I do have one at my house.
You're going to bring it to game day morning on Sunday? I mean, you're going
to
bring it?
Do you need me to bring it?
This is your home Super Bowl.
Why can't we have the real? I mean, I can bring it. Anything else you want me to bring? No. I got some other trophies I could bring.
Sandwiches? It's 8.5
sandwiches,
hours.
Sandwiches, all right. I could probably do that.
Bring
as
something.
Well.
I don't
Whatever
know.
You need.
I don't know. Maybe.
For those last couple hours when I go up and eat the hot food, I can leave some sandwiches for you guys. You got to mess with him a little bit.
Like, Kurt Warner going to call Super Bowl 57 for Westwood One and abandon the NFL Network game day morning crew about 2/3 of the way through 8.5 hours. We'll leave.
I know you hold it down.
You leave the light on for us.
We'll
close up shop there.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show here at the Super Bowl in Arizona. So the key to this game, what do you got for me? I mean, you are the grinder of tape all grinders of tape. I'm sure you have looked at everything.
Well, I mean,
you were at the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things. That's kind of what I do all week is kind of dive into the other areas that people aren't talking about. But, I mean, if we're talking about the key to this game, to me it's the trenches. As much as I want to say it's the quarterbacks, because I think we have two great quarterbacks, two guys. I thought Jalen should have been the MVP before he got hurt. I think Patrick will win it now. So I want to talk about them. But I believe this is the most dominant team in the National Football League in both trenches, not just one side or the other, but defensive line, defensive front, offensive line. I think Philly is the best team that we have in the National Football League.
They eviscerated that trench in Philadelphia against San Francisco. Oh, I know so much is being made about, well, you know, who did Philadelphia beat?
Right.
You know, I'm here. I said that was going to be the number one troll TV, sports TV storyline coming in, and I'm hearing it more and more. But, you know, Brock Purdy was half of himself when he came back in after Josh Johnson, but they knocked him out. They knocked both of them out.
They were in the backfield, you know, over and over again. You know, I break down tape, and, you know, there's times where there's wide open receivers running somewhere, and, you know, we always want to say, like, just find that wide open guy. But, you know, there's three guys in the quarterback's lap, you know, when he's trying to do that because there's pressure from everywhere.
You were saying Ayuk was open. I was listening to the broadcast on the way home. Yeah. Ayuk was open on the play that Purdy got knocked down.
Would have been a huge play, maybe even a touchdown on that play. But, yeah, I mean, you got – and it's not just one guy. I think that's the thing that I always look at in these games, too, is how many different ways can a team beat you? How many different guys can beat you? You know, so the offensive line of the Eagles is great, you know. Sanders is a great running back, but they've got three running backs that I believe can all make big plays for him. Jalen Hurts can make plays. You know, on the defensive side, they have four guys that had 10-plus sacks. I mean, four guys, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. So that, to me, is the key to this game, is how does Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and this Chiefs team, how do they try to at least just match the production of, you know, the trenches for the Eagles? I mean, Chris Jones, I mean, he's one guy, and not that they don't have other guys up there, but he's going to have a huge game.
Yeah.
You know, the whole offensive line is going to be, you know, put to task by this defensive front over and over and over again. I mean, we all remember the last Super Bowl, and I know they had injuries up front, but, you know, the front of Tampa against this Chiefs team dictated that whole game. And so that, to me, is I don't know what they're going to scheme up. You know, screen passes, quick passes. You know, is Patrick able to pull some of his magic when they get quick pressure and avoid that and make big plays? But I truly believe Philadelphia is better in the trenches by a long shot, and that's going to dictate the course of this game.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show, and Mahomes was compromised in that Super Bowl against that Bucs front seven as well. We're talking about his ankle so much, and Andy Reid said today that it looks like the entire playbook is available to him. Yeah. What's your two cents on that subject?
I mean, I think the entire playbook was available last time. I mean, you know, he's so unique. I mean, if you go back and watch the championship game, you know, they're like third play of the game. They rolled him out to his right. To throw a pass. Like, okay, once you start doing, like, what's not available if you're willing to roll him out?
Well, maybe,
you
know, the snow globe play where they do a ring around the rosy.
Okay, Coach Reid drew that one up.
Right.
You know, and there was another time where, you know, Cincinnati got quick pressure in the inside, and Patrick just turned and ran to his left, and then, I mean, like, I think everything was available last week, probably more so this week if there's anything that they were afraid to do. I just think Patrick is special, and he's got the ability to throw without his feet, you know, as well as anybody in the league. And so even if there is some residual issues there, he makes up for it with some of the special stuff that he can do throwing the football. So I feel like 2 weeks off, I don't even think it's going to be a factor unless he re-injures it.
Okay, so then what the Chiefs need, you mentioned Chris Jones. I mean, that's what they, because you're just assuming the offense is going to show up in a certain way to try and counterbalance that front seven. I mean, I'm picking up that you like the Eagles in this game, Kurt. I'm not going to lie.
I do like the Eagles right now. You know, again, Patrick's always the, you know, that X factor. But less than I think it's about Chris Jones, although, you know, if they could get pressure with Chris and Frank and just those guys up front, I believe it's going to be about Spags and his pressure game, you know, because Jalen's been so good, but the one area that he still struggles with more than any others is when you get quick pressure on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get free runners, and he's got to make those quick decisions and throw the football, and that's where he struggles. So I think the pressure game of Spags and what they do defensively to try to confuse Jalen Hurts and get after him in the pass game, I think that's going to be a bigger key in this game than just hoping that the front four wins over and over again, because I don't see it happening. Because in the championship game, you know, they put Chris Jones out on the defensive end position, and he won that last. you're not putting him out there against Lane Johnson. Like, that's not a matchup that you want. So you're going to keep him inside. But Jason Kelce's so good. I mean, there was one snap from the game last week where, you know, you had Bosa and Armstead on the same side of the field. And yeah, you saw Jason Kelce snap the ball. And he literally turned and sprinted in that direction to go, I'm coming over here and helping these guys. Like, I know where their biggest strength is on the defensive line. I am going to make sure that I double-team that side. I believe you're going to see him do that every opportunity he gets with Chris Jones if they play him on the inside. So it's going to come down to scheming up opportunities to get Chris Jones one-on-one and hopefully win or get free hitters on Jalen Hurts and hope that he makes a mistake here or there.
One last tape head all 22 question for you, Kurt Warner. Again, your QB Confidential, check it out on YouTube, which is where you
lots of videos all over this
week. It's so insightful. It's spectacular. Is why does Travis Kelce get so wide open? I mean, we were talking about it just earlier this week. Who was it, Chris, that was talking about watching it? Yeah. TJ, we couldn't believe just seeing it on film. Yeah. Who was that earlier this week? It was.
We've been saying it the whole time. Like, why is he not triple teamed on every single play?
Exactly. We couldn't believe it.
The fan people talking. Oh, why don't you just triple team that guy? Because they're going to throw it to him. That's impossible to do.
But
it's really hard to double team.
But everybody knows that he's going to get the ball.
But it's really hard. But the reason why he's so wide open so often is, first and foremost, the feel that he has for the game along with Patrick. It's not just Travis. It's them together and understanding how to adjust routes. And so you'll see, Travis numerous times in a game where he's supposed to be running like a deep corner route.
Right.
And he just gets out there and he realizes the defender that he just left. And he realizes the defender that's outside, and he just kind of stops where the big hole is. Or he'll be running a deep crossing route, and he'll stop inside between the hashes when he's supposed to be outside the numbers on the other side, because he's like, well, I know that linebacker's over there, and this linebacker's here, and I know that Patrick will see it.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason he gets so wide open. The second thing is he's so good at adjusting after the fact. So there was a play against the Jags in their playoff game.
Yeah, he set a record for most catches in a game.
But he's actually supposed to run a flat route on that play.
Right.
And the Jags dropped their defensive end out to cover him. So he's running to the flat, and the defensive end is like, was literally right on top of him from the get-go and is running out to the flat with him. And he just stops and throws him by and comes back to the inside. And Patrick buys a little bit of time, flips it to him to the inside, and gets 12 yards on the play where he wasn't even supposed to be in there. He was supposed to be outside. But they have such a great rapport with one another. And Travis has such a great feel for where defenders are and how to adjust his routes accordingly that it's hard to stop him. Because, who's going to cover him man-to-man? You're not putting a safety or a linebacker on him to cover him man-to-man.
Right.
So now you have to cover them with zone, and he's going to find the opening in the zone, and Patrick is good enough to allow him to make those adjustments and make the plays with him.
Who was that guy for you? Marshall? Fitz? Who was it where you had that
sixth sense? I was more of a structure guy.
Okay.
Where I didn't like my guys adjusting as much. I wanted to, because that's the hard thing.
Yeah.
There was another play in that Jacksonville game where Travis goes and runs a deep corner route, and Patrick thinks he's going to stop, and they missed a play because of that, because they weren't on the same page, even though they usually are. And so I was a guy that's like, you just run where you're supposed to go. I'll read the defense, and then I'll get it to the right guy. But as far as a feel for the game, Marshall was
there,
because he saw what I saw. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that Travis and Patrick see the same things in the course of a play. And you don't very often see that from receivers, that they can see and understand what a quarterback's seeing. So he can hang with you a little bit longer. And, Marshall was definitely the guy that I knew when he was running routes, I'm like, I know exactly where he's going to break this and how he's going to break this, because he's seeing exactly what I'm seeing, and it made it like stealing. And it looks like that sometimes with Patrick and Travis.
Yeah, it makes sense. Marshall would be saying things as I'm thinking it on television.
Yes,
exactly. He would do that all the time as well. Kurt Warner, you can see Kurt and I and the rest of the NFL Game Day Morning Crew Sunday starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 8:30 hours, but not all of them for you, because you big time us to go call Super Bowl 57 on Westwood One with Kevin Harlan. And I appreciate you joining us here, certainly since you're going into your darkness retreat starting later on today, right? And we won't see you. You come out.
Yes, we've got 8.5 hours of TV we got to do. So I think, I need a few days of isolation.
That's what you do, right?
Before I get ready
before
for
you
the
make
game.
Your decisions.
Yeah, but in my dark room, there's actually
what
a film.
That's
how I do it. I just lock myself in the room, but I have tape.
My darkness retreat is rooting for the Jets.
Yes, every Sunday for 3 hours.
I haven't seen light. Barely light from 53
right.
years.
Well, so. I think you need to change your routine. The isolation chamber is not working for you.
I got to switch it up?
Yes, you got to change it
open
up.
Open the shade? Open the door?
Well,
open
maybe
the window.
If you join Aaron in his isolation chamber,
then
maybe your isolation on Sunday afternoons might change a little.
I'll bring the tea.
Okay.
Aaron might be joining you soon, Rich.
He might be coming to the Jets, and again, isolation and darkness, perfect way to get ready for the Jets. Perfect. Thanks for coming on, Kirk.
You got it, my friend.
Super Bowl champion and the last guy to win MVP of the league and MVP of the big game, Kurt Warner, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Still to come, WWE superstar Seth Rollins and another guy who's hoisted this trophy, Charles Woodson. We're back here from the Super Bowl town in a moment. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with everybody here on the Roku channel, we just are staring at the Vince Lombardi trophy that's sitting right to my left. Monster.com can help you tackle the job hunt and make your next career move. Monster.com knows that scoring your next job is a championship moment. And to bring your A game, you need Monster.com, because if you're looking to change positions or join a new team, Monster.com has millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can actually be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. So they're kind of using the site as a stalking horse, potentially, for you. And Monster.com knows how to match you with those job fits. And when you score the position, there's a salary calculator that ensures you're paid what you're worth. This is what it's all about. When you go to Monster.com, put your resume there, you win the job hunt. Monster.com. So Joe Montana just left us, and so did Kurt Warner.
Yep.
So I noticed, did you, TJ, and Joe Montana have a moment? What was happening? What was happening is we were switching out Hall of Fame quarterbacks guest chair.
I just had to tell Joe that he was responsible for, most people would say, Joe, you're responsible for my greatest memories.
Yes.
I said, hey, Joe, you're responsible for probably my saddest sports memory of all time.
What'd he say?
He looked at me and goes, Cowboys fan?
Cowboys fan.
Yeah. Oh, he's heard this story before.
Then he pointed something out, and I'm going to have to go back and watch this. He goes, there was a play, he goes, Cowboy fans don't remember this. He goes, there was a play after that where Dallas almost scored, and I think he said their DB Eric Wright may have stopped. I forget the player, I have to look it up. He goes, Dallas could have come back and scored and won the game. He goes, but he got tackled and they lost. He goes, nobody remembers that.
Nobody remembers.
I'm like, it still doesn't take the pain away, Joe.
But I just love it how, out of all the fans, he goes, a Cowboy fan, huh? I think he probably takes extreme pride.
Well, he watches the show, obviously.
You? I'm sure he does.
He watches the show. He knows.
So you had mentioned this before, too. I had not noticed. The Eagles helmet. We have a Chiefs helmet and an Eagles helmet. It could have easily placed the Chiefs helmet in front of your position as opposed to Brockman's.
But
thus, there are no rules. I mean, there are rules to get in here, and you have to be credentialed to get into the Super Bowl experience.
You need a credential.
And there are rules for the NFL that you need to follow in order to stay in their good graces, so we stay in here.
Correct.
But other than that, we control this footprint. We could easily switch the helmets.
However, the Eagles are the home team.
So the home's on the right?
The home's on the other.
So
the
essentially,
on the right,
but technically, looking at the helmets, though, the home team helmet
is looking this way.
No, but you looking out.
Oh, us looking out, it's the other way.
But
us out looking in.
Which is all we care about.
Home,
right.
Away.
It was done to upset me, and it worked. I'm upset.
Chiefs and Pats had a little rivalry.
Yeah,
and then
rivalry's not, man.
Obviously, teachers like the Eagles. Mm. I think the Eagles are going to win, so it makes sense to flip them, but we need to be accurate.
By the way, while we're on the subject of home and away, nobody knows this, by the way. Nobody knows who's home and who's away, because this is the Super Bowl. But there is somebody that's designated as the home team for a reason, because they call the coin toss in the air, and they also get to choose the uniform
that's how the home team gets picked?
Yeah.
It switches every year. Last year, the AFC team was the home team. This year, it's the NFC team that's the home team. And so the Eagles got to choose. They wear green. And fascinatingly enough, this will be the first playoff game ever in which Patrick Mahomes wears white. This is the most insignificant, yet potentially most significant statistic of Super Bowl 57 I'm dispensing to you right now.
However, Rich.
Hold on a second. I'm not done yet here. Sorry, excuse me.
I was coming with jersey stats.
But with you, I know you're about to give me them. I will hand it off to you in a second. But by the way, however was that you are aware from the Penske fire. You are aware, and then I interrupted you. So we don't know what we should be aware of. We'll find that out in a second. Mahomes has never worn white for a playoff game because he's always been home, and the Super Bowls in which he's played, the Chiefs chose red to wear because he was the home team in those Super Bowls. That's why he's worn red. This is the first time he's ever worn white at a Super Bowl. Now you can give me the you are aware stat that I believe I'm already aware of.
The team that's worn white has won 36 times.
Wow.
15 of the last 18 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a stat. That's a good one.
15 of the last 18 Super Bowls.
However,
yes.
When the Eagles won their Super Bowl a few years ago against New England, they were green.
They're one of the few teams that did not wear white.
Well, the Eagles have worn green now every Super Bowl that they've been in.
So I guess that they've been a home team because I guess they would choose to wear their Kelly green uniform. So at any rate.
And the Chiefs beat the Niners in red. So
the most significant insignificant stat of Super Bowl 57. This is why that's why we flew here to give you this information.
So, all right, pack up, time to go.
How is this not significant?
Also, Rich, did you know about the coin toss? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, this is another great one.
The last 8 Super Bowls, the team that's won the coin toss lost the game.
Lost the game.
8 in a row.
8 in a row.
So here's the most. That's stupid.
It's fact.
Hold on a minute. Until we find out. We need to know, what did they do? What was their decision when they won? Did they defer or did they not?
Did they call heads?
Because that's what I'm saying. If you're telling me, because most teams, as you know, win the toss and defer.
Defer.
Because they want to get the ball in the second half to get the opportunity to score right before and after halftime. If they're down, you can flip the script quickly with 2 possessions in a row.
Just like that.
Or you can push the pedal to the metal and put the game out of reach by scoring touchdowns on either side of halftime. So we saw the Patriots make quite a bit of hay by scoring on either side of halftime with Brady in the Brady Belichick era. But now you got to tell me, you know, if you're telling me 8 straight Super Bowl winners have deferred and they've lost, that would blow my mind. Now that would blow my mind.
Well, I'm going to go check now.
I don't know that.
Is there really a site that tells you this sort of thing?
Yeah.
Now I have what was called.
Okay. Heads or tails?
I don't have whether they deferred decision. Or not.
Okay. So
last year, Rams, Bengals, tails, Bengals won.
But it failed.
Eventually,
to win.
No, I don't know who's calling this either. It doesn't say that. But Kansas City, Tampa Bay, it was heads. Mm-hmm. Kansas City won the toss. Oh, Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl.
Very good. That's great.
Like that?
No. I honestly, to me, the uniform stuff is more significant. And that's pretty insignificant.
Not to Brockman, it's not.
People bet on the coin toss, Rich.
I'm aware of that, Chris, because for some reason I see people whose team just lost the coin toss in the stadium cheer loudly. I'll never forget being in Vegas many moons ago.
Next year we'll be in Vegas.
I know that. I remember being in Vegas many, many moons ago, and there was, I think, UConn played Duke in some, you know, Final Four or what have you.
Yes.
And Duke threw
the 99 championship was Duke,
I think. Duke threw in a meaningless 3 at the end of the game. By meaningless, I mean it had nothing to do with who won and who lost the game.
But it was meaningful.
But when whoever threw in that 3 to make it a 5, like a 2-point deficit as opposed to 5, the place exploded. And I didn't even need to know why it exploded.
Baby.
Exploded. Vegas, and I'm like, baby. My first initial thought was like, why are people going crazy? Because the game, meant nothing.
Yeah.
It meant everything to somebody.
Also, I need to find Chris Stapleton to find out how long his anthem is.
Say it again?
I need to find Chris Stapleton to find out how long the anthem's going to be. Just throwing that out there.
All right.
So if anyone's watching,
you're such
rehearsal.
A degenerate. For the first time ever, stream the Super Bowl for free. Super Bowl 57 on Westwood One is Sunday, February 12th. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. What should I know about Seth Rollins?
TJ.
Man, Seth Rollins.
Give it to me.
Well,
he's coming.
The most important thing for this show purpose is Seth Rollins is a huge Chicago Bears fan.
Yes, I know that. I know.
And he lives and dies with the Bears. Seth Rollins also married to Becky Lynch, friend of the show.
Okay.
Who's been on multiple times.
Okay.
He's a WWE Grand Slam champion, which means he's won every single title available to a wrestler there.
Okay.
And it looks like there's a chance he might be taking on Jake Paul at WrestleMania this year. We don't know yet. I don't know if that's the
Logan
case.
Logan Paul or Jake Paul?
I'm sorry, Logan.
Logan
Paul. Logan Paul, I'm sorry. And it looks like that might be where they're leading right now, you know?
But, okay.
Seth Rollins is the man.
There you go.
Okay. Jake Paul and
Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Jake's the boxer.
Chris Paul. Chris Paul.
Yeah. Chris Paul still plays for Phoenix.
Sean Paul.
Sean
Singer.
Paul. Chris Paul. Bring me the light and pass the drone.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
No relation to Pitbull.
Very good. Should we have Seth Rollins scream out Eberflus before he leaves?
No, that's mandatory.
The latest Chicago Bears fan to scream Eberflus here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel.
Yeah, no doubt. All
right, fantastic. And then Charles Woodson right behind him.
Is he bringing any wine or bourbon?
He better.
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
you don't come to my house empty-handed.
Rich,
only you do that, Chris.
Oh, wait a minute.
Rich likes pretty much all of our guests. All of our guests come on. But every time Woodson comes on, he gets like, there's a particular smile, flashed it. When you speak of Charles Woodson and Desmond Howard, those two make you just...
Two of my favorite people on planet Earth. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Charles doesn't have to do stuff like this. Schlep all the way down from Scottsdale down here to just hang out and talk to us.
Yeah, he's probably playing in the pro-am.
It's called a special bond is what it's called. A special bond. Seth Rollins coming up, hour three.
First time I ever met Charles Woodson Rich was the old podcast. He came into our little tiny studio. We were just doing audio only.
Yes.
You told him I was a Pats fan.
Yes.
This was probably 12 years ago. He looked at me dead serious and goes, well, what is he doing here?
With not a hint of humor, huh?
He was not joking.
It sounded like
he was not joking.
Tom Coughlin, then why are you calling me?
What is he doing here?
Why is he here?
What's he?
I'm like, okay.
He literally meant it, right? What's he doing here?
He totally meant it.
Yeah, it's like because he thought it was a safe place when he's coming.
And then he thought I was
going
to be like, snow game, talk roll live. That's not what I did.
Well, you were too afraid at that point.
Yeah, by that exactly.
Yeah, you weren't doing it.
You thought about it. Like, and then you
by the way, that might have been Charles is one of, as you know, the greatest defenders of all time.
Yes,
I think he was just defending his own space from Patriot fans who probably have violated his space.
This is my guy Chris. He's a Pats fan. What is he doing here?
Fantastic. He's probably forgotten you're a Pats fan, and I'll do that again here, and let's see if he does the same.
Probably. Well, when we were in Atlanta, the Super Bowl, him and I got into it because we were talking about, it's a clip that we play sometimes.
Oh, yeah. About the fumble. About it being a fumble.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the jig is up is what you're saying.
Right.
Very good. All right. That's 2 hours in the books right here from the Super Bowl Convention Center in downtown Phoenix. When we come back here, WWE superstar Seth Rollins. Then Charles Woodson will join us here for our third hour of our first day on the Roku channel at the Super Bowl.